President-elect Trump has spoken by phone to scores of world leaders. Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has met with him in person in New York this evening, following concern in his country over statements candidate Trump made during the campaign. In fact, questions have been raised in many quarters about Trump's foreign policy as he decides who his main appointments in that arena will be. We turn now to Michael Pillsbury, who has been advising the Trump transition team. He served in past Republican administrations in the Defense Department and on the National Security Council staff. And David Rothkopf. He's the CEO and editor of Foreign Policy Magazine and the author of National Insecurity, American Leadership in an Age of Fear. And we welcome both of you to the program. Michael Pillsbury, let me start with you and ask you about this visit of the Japanese Prime Minister, the meeting late this afternoon with Donald Trump. How typical is it for a foreign head of government to meet with someone who's been elected president but hasn't taken office yet?
It's common. It's basically a Japanese initiative. It's a very good idea. It lets the Japanese sort of get the feel of Mr. Trump, present some of their concerns from the campaign rhetoric. And the fact that Mr. Abe has already said that it's an honor for him to be the first foreign leader, in some sense, sets up a competitive dynamic. There's been some reproaches now already from Prime Minister Modi of India and other countries that they would like to have a chance to talk to the president-elect as well.
But you're saying it's common. This is something that's normally done.
I don't know the statistics, but the key thing is the president-elect can't act. He can't conduct foreign policy. But he can certainly educate himself and have a chance to meet people so that after he's president, it won't be the first time. It won't be a meeting of two strangers.
David Rothkopf, what about that? How accustomed are we, should we be, to a president-elect having these kinds of meetings?
Well, these kind of things happen. President Obama met with foreign leaders before he took office. I think what President-elect Trump needs to think about a little bit is that his actions have foreign policy consequences whether or not he's meeting with foreign leaders. So that, for example, if he sends out a tweet trying to intimidate or berate the New York Times, foreign leaders who might be wanting to do that themselves start saying, oh, there's a change in U.S. policy. Or if he cozies up to Russia, or if he appoints an ethno-nationalist as his primary advisor, people say, oh, perhaps ethno-nationalism is in season at the White House. Everything is being watched. Everything he does has a foreign policy consequence.
Well, let me turn back to you, Michael Pillsbury, because there has been a lot made about not just Stephen Bannon being named as a top counselor to the president in the White House, but about what Donald Trump said during the campaign. How much concern is there out there on the part of foreign leaders about him?
Well, it's hard to be sure of that because he's not president yet. And so things that foreign leaders say can be for effect. I can take you back to the Reagan administration. I was on the President Reagan's transition team, and we had similar issues. People wanted to get in touch to know what is the true policy going to be. And transition teams, and someone like me, especially an advisor on the outside, don't have any authority. President Reagan didn't really get to his main national security strategy until after 1 year in office. Some of these key documents, National Security Decision Directive 32 on the Soviet Union, took 1 year to hash out. So we're really in a very early phase where as David says, yes, you know, tweets are read and people are watching, but these are not official acts. There's no team of Secretary of State and Defense actually meeting to hammer things out yet. We're way early for to see what the Trump administration role in history is going to be.
So, David Rothkopf, it sounds like Michael Pillsbury is saying it's just too early to get concerned about any of this until he takes office and starts making decisions.
Well, I don't know if it's too early. I mean, yesterday you had the head of the National Security Agency saying that Russia had taken an active role in trying to tip the scales of this election towards Trump. And indeed, that's what happened. Then Trump got on the phone with Russia, talked to Putin, waxed rhapsodic about a letter from Putin. A day later, Putin launches a major offensive in Syria. Some of the people who Trump is considering are people who are fairly cozy with the Russians, including General Mike Flynn. And so all of a sudden, people are starting to put pieces together. Michael's right. It takes time for a foreign policy legacy to emerge. But for first impressions matter. And right now, Donald Trump is making some pretty disturbing first impressions.
Well, I want to come back to you on the specifics of that. But Michael,
I don't agree at all, obviously.
Go ahead.
Well, a new president from whatever party deserves a bit of a ceasefire, in my view. The election's over. politics is going to continue. There'll be harsh criticism of Donald Trump, I'm sure, for the next 4 years. But one of my favorite expressions in Washington is something George Shultz once said, I think on the PBS NewsHour. He said, quote, nothing ever gets settled in this town. So conflicts continue. We can criticize Mike Flynn, but he's not been named yet as the National Security Advisor. I personally hope he is. I read General Mike Flynn's book on the war on terror. It's quite good.
But what about... But
he's not speaking right now. General Flynn going on TV, for example. He doesn't speak as a government official. This was an election campaign, which is now over. And there needs to be a kind of break in this harsh daily criticism of Mr. Trump and his team.
But David Rothkopf, I hear you saying that there are signals being sent by the conversation that Donald Trump had with Vladimir Putin, for example.
Of course, and there's signals that are being sent with tweets intimidating the Times, and there's signals being sent with who he's evaluating for key offices and who might be the people that he chooses to appoint to those offices. And, you know, yes, it'd be nice, ideally, if we could set aside the politics for a moment. But some of these things are not political. When you go and take somebody who's run a publication that's a white supremacist, misogynist publication, and appoint him right next door to the president in the White House, that sends a message, particularly in Europe right now, where there's a rising tide of the right. One of those people who he's appointed, Steve Bannon, has already sent a message to the Le Pen team, who's going to contend for the presidency of France next year, extreme right-wingers. And so he's saying, look, we'll help you. We're part of this rising tide of the right. So actions are being taken, choices are being made, and the consequences are serious.
And we should say that the Breitbart News organization argues against the characterization that it's white supremacist. But setting that aside, Michael Pillsbury, what about this argument that already by his statements, even saying I had a good conversation with Vladimir Putin, and the next day Russia launches yet another punishing strike in Syria, that those are not things that we should be concerned about at the very least?
I think the key thing is a White House fact sheet that President Obama issued and President Obama's own statements that the Obama administration has tried very hard to prepare memos for every government department for the last few months, suggestions what to do, descriptions of what has happened so far. But those will not be turned over until Mr. Trump's transition teams arrive in the buildings. Now, the problem we have right now is that the transition teams have not been sent.
And they did arrive today. Some of them did arrive today.
And this is a setback for the past week or so. But it's easy to remedy this. And now the dialogue begins. So things like David is concerned about, they'll begin to sort of get hold of what's been going on in various foreign policy and defense areas quite soon. We're in this very premature first week now. As I appeal again to David, give people a break.
Well, we are just beginning to watch, and this is the first of many, many conversations we're going to be having on this. Michael Pillsbury, David Rothkopf, we thank you both.
Pleasure.